Well, good morning, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to 88.5, and this is the KRFY Morning Show. And I'm Susie Prez, and hi, Chris. Good morning.
Good morning, Susie.
Chris Bessler, our co-host. We co-host this together every Tuesday morning, and it is October 27th, so welcome to this day. And we have guests in the studio.
And our guests today are Mayor Kerry Logan. Hi, Kerry.
Good morning. Very nice to be here.
And City Parks and Recreation Director Kim Woodruff.
Thanks for the invite. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. And we're going to be talking today specifically about the ballot measure that's going to be up on the ballot on the November 3rd election for the Memorial Field sales tax. And there's going to be a lot to cover there. But first, Susie.
How about the weather from the National Weather Service? They're telling us right now we have fog. And it's 37 degrees out. Fog, mostly sunny today, however, because the fog should clear up eventually around 11 a.m. And high today, 52. Low tonight, more patchy fog, 35 degrees low. Tomorrow, pretty much the same thing, except Wednesday night, we should start getting more showers with a 50% chance of showers Wednesday night and Thursday. And that's kind of what we're looking at, fall weather. And here we go into the beautiful fall that we're having.
Yeah, it's still colorful out there. In fact, a lot of the birch trees have dropped their leaves now, but right about this time of year, the tamaracks start coming on. It starts looking really cool. So we get an extended season of color there out of the tamaracks. Also going on outside, the sunrise this morning was at 7:23 a.m. Sunset was at 5:35 p.m. And that means that in the last week, we've lost about 22 minutes of daylight as we're getting closer to the winter solstice. But I will say, last week we had lost 25 minutes. So it starts to tighten up a little bit as we get closer to the solstice. We stop losing our daylight quite so quickly. But of course, there are dark
days ahead.
Yeah.
Well, I know that in the middle of winter, I'm driving down here to the studio. It's dark out.
Yeah.
And it's not quite that yet, so I'm okay.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, it's better for sleeping in.
I know.
If you can do that. Today is the full moon. Actually, the full moon was at 8:05 a.m. this morning, but it'll look completely full tonight. The moonrise will be at 6:08 p.m., assuming we can get out there and see it if there's not too many clouds. And as for the lake level, it's now at 2054.13 feet, and that's down 1.85 feet from just a week ago. It's projected to keep dropping, but I'm not sure what level they're bringing it down to this year. It's already lower than it is. They bring it down on some years. Hmm. I do know they want to get it down as low as they can before the Kokanee will be in spawning.
So why do they bring the lake level down?
It creates capacity in the reservoir for the spring runoff.
Okay.
That's one big reason. And there's a lot of other reasons that have to do with power generation and how power is used throughout the entire Bonneville Power Administration electrical grid. Other things going on around town this week, Susie?
Well, there's always a lot going on in this
town.
It's going
to be Halloween on, I think it's Saturday, right?
It is Saturday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So watch out for little ones out there, you know. Spooking the city residents. The really hot area for trick-or-treating, I think, is still South Sandpoint. But
Lincoln Street area is really big, too. And police department last year blocked off those streets from car traffic because there's so many kids out there.
What a good idea.
And they're going to do that again this year for safety.
That's great. So Lincoln Street between where and where, roughly?
I don't recall. Yeah. You could probably give Corey a call and find out the exact
area.
Yeah, it's packed with kids.
Right.
Yeah.
Some of our broadcasters live in that area, and they were telling me how much candy they had bought and what their whole scheme is and how they're going to handle everything. They have a whole bunch of people helping, and it's a big deal.
Yeah.
And fun.
Among other things that happened this week, I don't know if you guys watch Shark Tank.
I do. Well, I didn't, but I did on Friday night.
You did this week. Shark Tank is the show on, I think it's ABC, that has a bunch of billionaire entrepreneurs that invest in companies. And we had a Sandpoint company that Charles Manning, he's actually CEO of Cochava here in town, who's involved in another company called X-Craft. And he and his partner went on Shark Tank. And you go into the tank with a specific bid investment you're looking for. And they went in asking for $500,000. And they came out with $1.5 million because all the sharks were so interested in this company they have. They tripled the amount that they were actually asking for. All five of the investors came in on it. Usually they're fighting each other. They don't. This is the first time all five have come in on a particular project. So it was kind of a little a bit of a shot. I don't know if you noticed some of the pictures they had. X-Craft makes drones, but some of the pictures they had were shot out with a drone flying over like City Beach, it looked like.
Yeah. The first one I ever saw was shot out at Traverse, you know, and you could see the church there next to Centennial and
There's plenty of drone companies. Why X-Craft is unique? What would make the sharks want them?
Well, there's actually a couple of unique things. One, which I just learned at the show. First is that it's a drones usually fly like little helicopters. Their drone is designed to turn and fly like an airplane, so it can reach much faster speeds. You can go like 60 miles an hour, whereas the little helicopter drones go much slower. And as they explained it, you know, if you were using a drone maybe to film a car driving down the road or something like that, it would have applications that way. And it gives it much more range as well. And then additionally, they have a new product that I just heard about at the Shark Tank, which is called the phone drone. And they take a cell phone and they insert it and becomes the brains of the drone, and they can program it to go and fly. They can control it from another phone, or they can just program it with the phone that they insert in the drone. And that's going to be really relatively cheap, like $300, I think they said.
Sounds like experimental ground for Jerry Luther.
Jerry, of course, has been doing a lot of aerial photography using not a drone, but rather a...
like a remote control. A remote-controlled
airplane, yeah.
Well, so. Times have changed. Here we go.
Yeah, so that was kind of an exciting thing for a lot of folks in town to see Charles get in the shark tank and swim with the sharks.
And succeed. He got the sharks to swim with him.
Yes.
And the other guy that's the partner with him, the engineer, his name?
I am blanking on his name at the moment, but he's actually the guy that invented it.
Right.
And he did a lot of the speaking on the because he's really obviously very well acquainted with the drone product and the technology behind it.
A little famous moment for Sandpoint.
Yeah. Another
one. Yeah. So that was pretty cool.
How exciting.
But let's get on to today's topic, which is
Go Bulldogs. They're in the playoffs.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
The Bulldogs.
Yeah. Right.
The Sandpoint Bulldogs are in the playoffs.
Yeah, football team. This Friday night's a bye, and then the hosting the next game at Memorial Field.
Big game coming up.
Which we happen to be talking about. And we have the studio again for us with us, Mayor Kerry Logan and City Parks and Recreation Director Kim Woodruff. And the topic is the Memorial Field sales tax, what we're calling the Memorial Field sales tax. Now, this is a 1% local option tax that is going to be on the ballot. Voters have to approve it, and they have to approve it by a 60% margin, actually. And we want to talk about Memorial Field, but let's talk about the tax first, because this is called the Resort City Tax. It's not even available to most of the cities in the state. Can you explain the rationale behind having resort cities, giving resort cities the ability to put on a sales tax like this?
In our situation, and in fact, the way the law reads, it's only available to cities under, I believe, 10,000 population.
Mm-hmm. I believe so.
And there's a huge financial impact to cities based on tourist visitation, increased costs for fire, for police, for parks. And so there is that mechanism to allow cities with election to... am I too far away? Okay. To allow cities via election to appropriate additional dollars. Those dollars have to be very, very, very specified. You can't just pass a blanket thing and use it however you want. Thus, the language on the ballot, which is very specific about what the revenues from this can be used for.
Yes, and so the tax basically, the resort city tax basically was provided by the state, the legislature, just for this sort of thing, where a small city that sees its population burgeon during tourist season and it has to provide services for a lot more people than just the city population,
right,
have a mechanism to try to gain some additional revenue.
Right.
Okay, so on the ballot is going to be a ballot question that basically says, do you approve a 1% sales tax with the funds to be dedicated for the use of Memorial Field?
Correct.
Now, 1% is 1 cent on the dollar.
Correct.
That means if somebody goes and purchases something for a dollar, a penny, they're going to pay an extra penny. If they purchase something for $100, it would end up costing an extra dollar. Let's talk about what the need here is with Memorial Field. The stadium, Kim, you're very well acquainted with that.
Yeah, I can jump in on that. And it's also for clarification, there's a lot of brochures and literature out there. Our citizens should have received in the mail an informational pamphlet. And the local option tax is the same as the resort city's tax. And so the flyer that people got, it says understanding the local option tax proposal. And so I just want to make sure we're clear on that they're not two different things. So they're just right. the same thing.
Two different names for the same thing.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Just to kind of clarify that. And then again, where the need, and I'm happy to speak for the need. My job as Parks and Recreation Director is to manage this asset for the citizens of Sandpoint. It's, you know, something that's been near and dear to our community for a long, long time. I think it was back in 48 when the grandstands were constructed. So, and they've had a long run in history, about 70 years old. About 10 years ago, we were advised that the upper portion of the grandstands proper could not be occupied because of the structural just problems underneath. And basically, people look on the outside and go, yeah, it looks a little tired, but can you put some paint on it and be fine? But what you got to remember is there's, you know, 900 people sitting in a grandstand, and this was keeping them up, or boards underneath that. And so, again, 10 years ago, we were advised that we could only occupy the bottom part. So the community got together and generated about $55,000 for those Band-Aid repairs. And at that time, we were well aware and that it was a 5 to 10 year fix. Again, reminding that was 10 years ago. So we're on kind of the tail end of that spectrum. We do go in every year and have the structural analysis done. And the constant theme throughout all those reports are that, you know, remember that the clock is ticking. You know, you can go in and do some minor fixes or repairs, but it would be way more cost effective to raise this and then replace it with something that for, you know, instead of just doing bits and pieces of that are going to have just a limited life. You know, really, it's just like the underside of it is what is the problem. And so that's we've been, you know, kind of limping along all this time, and, you know, being at the end of the structure, you know, a stadium full of 900 people is something that we just can't gamble with safety. These are our friends and family, but just no matter, they're human beings in there, and we can't take a risk. So it'll be my recommendation, no matter the outcome, is that this comes down. And so for me, really, it's a matter of what do we replace it with. You know, and then the community is given a choice. I kind of liken it to being at a stop sign in a car, and we can either turn right or we can turn left. You know, turning right, we would, you know, take it down. So the stop sign is the taking it down part. You know, turning it right would be to maybe put in some aluminum bleachers, or maybe no bleachers at all, bring your own seating or something, or go left and go with the plan for the replacement of this stadium. You know, again, I've been very involved in the past 10 years, and I pride myself in being in pretty creative when it comes to funding for projects and programs. You know, we've done a lot of stuff in our parks through community donations. You know, the skate park, you know, we got $140,000 in donations is how we built that. But, you know, this is $2.72 million. And so, and I think that there's, you know, there's, and I kind of appreciate this opportunity to speak to some of those comments that I've seen in the paper. And again, I'm not here to advocate one way or the other on the tax. What I want to do is, as an agent of the city, is just explain the facts and the truth as this project has come forward. We truly have tried to find in the community grants, donation, and contributions to the fact of we for a whole year backed off. You know, I was a proponent of doing this local option tax, and this was tried a couple of years ago, and we did get over 50%. I think we had 52%, but it takes again 60% to pass. And be more aggressive on repackaging and presenting that. But there's a group of community connected people said, no, let us take this opportunity to go into the community and try to find the money. You know, we're pretty sure that we can get these donations and come up with the money. And they tried extremely hard. And I mean, people that a lot of meetings and trying to go, you know, to the larger, contributors and smaller contributors. We did a BRIC campaign and the BRIC campaign was successful. And a lot of those resources were used to replace the lights, which we call phase one. And so then that project's done. But what I want to explain is that we truly have exhausted the donations, the large donations, the corporate donations. Even if you had a corporate donator come in and give you, you know, $100,000, $200,000, $300,000, $500,000, that's not $2.72 million. You know, and that's the big thing. And so the proposed funding mechanism now with this 1% sales tax will give us an opportunity to collect that over the 5 years. And that doesn't mean we're not going to stop looking for those foundation monies and contributions and continue to sell bricks. Because what that does is gives opportunities for people to buy into the project, which is a real cool thing. This is community. You know, Memorial Field I see as that tangible place in our community that is a definition of community that you can touch, you know, and there's a lot of things that happen there. And I wanted to share that, you know, there's it's not just like this, well, you can go find money somewhere else and there's money out there for that. Cause I truly for 10 years, I've been looking for money. And again, I pride myself in being pretty good at finding money. And there's no money for this project. And so, you know,
at least not enough money.
Yeah.
The money
yeah.
has been donated.
Yeah. 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 And there has, and even the brick sales and the, you know, even the $5 donations and the $50,000 donations that, or the $10,000, there've been some large contributions. Again, that $55,000 originally 10 years ago was raised in within like 2 weeks of the community coming down. So then, you know, that kind of was
But that money was used to just make repairs.
Just to make the 10 years ago the repair so we could occupy the stadium for, at that time, you know, we're advised for 5 to 10 years again, and that's where we're on the tail end of that. So I guess what I wrote, this is an opportunity for to communicate that we truly are at the end of this structure's life. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's not trying to threat or you know, scare tactic or anything like that. It's not meant to be that way. It's just a way to communicate as a facility manager that it's done, mm-hmm. you know, and so it's just, this is an opportunity now to say, okay, what do we as a community want to do, you know, from this point forward?
It sounds like you've exhausted all other efforts, and the efforts have been significant, and this is the definitive answer to make it happen.
Well, this is the best option that we have, and it's for me the only option that we have. And another thing that I've kind of heard in the community a little bit, and I'd like to take the opportunity to clarify, is that, well, gee, once the tax starts, then it'll never end, because, you know, once they get it, they'll just keep spending it. And this is very, very specific that this is 5 years. This is the Idaho code says that you have to, as the mayor has mentioned earlier, you have to be extremely specific on what you will spend it for. You can spend it for only that, and then at the end of that period of time, it goes away. Now, that doesn't mean that if a group or someone comes forward and say, hey, this was a cool funding mechanism, let's try it again. But that would then be the choice of the voters. And again, it would have to meet the 60% criteria. So there's no automatic rollover that things keep going. You know, I don't want to sit here and say, hey, it'll never come back again, because if there's another project that was deemed worthy by the citizens' vote of 60%, then it would be vetted through the same process. So I don't want to just, you know, make a statement that it'll never happen again, but it would be up to the citizens to let that happen if that were to take place.
Okay. So, Kim, tell us about the design of the stadium. The cost is put at $2.72 million. It went through an architectural design period that involved citizen input.
Yeah, a bunch of public meetings. It was interesting. You know, when you start down, and everybody likes the dreaming phase. In fact, over the 10 years since that first meeting when we had to shore up the thing, is we'd have meetings and go, well, what do we want to have? What do we want to look like? And everybody shows up, yay, this would be great, or the brainstorm part, and then go, all right, who's going to help find money for it? And it's like, nobody would show up for those meetings. So, surprise. And so, but the process, you know, we had a bunch of meetings, the stakeholders, user groups, and the ironic thing, well, not really, and I think the cool thing for me was what it ended up in, and I remember the meeting was in the new Panhandle State Bank building, which is now the Columbia. I don't know what the name of that building is, but the discussion goes going on about the, you know, having the poles in the middle or no poles in the middle, or the coaching the press boxes in the back or the front. And, you know, and what we said, look, let's make sure that we have the people said they wanted to be as close as to what we have now, only expanded in size. And so we went from 900 to 1,500 people.
Retain a similar look.
Yeah. Similar look. But we also want to have economy. And so, you know, to have no standards or poles in the middle, you'd have a span structure and it would be a ton more money. And so, you know, we're looking at that and go, well, yeah, you know, even though this design here has a lot less, you know, support poles, it still has like 4 support poles. But to get rid of those, you know, you're talking, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in structural changes. And the same thing with the coaching boxes that we see in the front right now, and those are loved by the coaches, and it was kind of high on their priority list, and the people who call radio and stuff.
And the coaching boxes are up high,
right up on the front. But you know, there again, it was a huge dollar amount to keep them up there just because of the structural load that it created. So we really tried to look at form, function, and economy in the both the design and the feel of the, you know, so the feel is similar to what we had enjoyed for generations, but the materials for you know, the concrete and the steel, and something that, you know, we're saying in our promotions that, you know, at least 50 years, but I'm thinking this is an 80 to 100 year, you know, truly fix. You know, we're going from 900 to 1500 seating. Back in 48, when it was with 900 people, you know, since then Bonner County population has nearly tripled. And so, you know, we're taking into account that, and maybe we can actually not have such the blanket wars. Do you know anything about the blanket wars?
Yes.
What are the blanket wars?
Do you know about those, Susan?
Well, people go in weeks before a game and tape them down, I swear.
Yeah. The blankets get taped down to the, you know, kind of the best seats.
And that's been going on for years. Right. And so, you know, alone would be worth a 1% tax.
You could stroll up there a day and see a bunch of blankets.
Probably so.
We're getting closer if the playoffs are in there, and it's just, you know, and that's what the whole thing, though, is just, you know, there's this place where people have this space, and there's you know, people that don't have kids that are playing, or even, you know, relations that are playing. It's just a place to meet. I usually go to the games, and I like to sit on the other side. We won't, you know,
problems underneath because of what you know about the grandstands, my friend.
Well, let's just say that my friends sit in the, but you know, it's a fun to sit there and watch. And you know, there's a lot of Sandpoint people that sit on the other side just because there's not enough space. Yeah. You know, and so there's not that many, you know, parents. I mean, there's a lot of people just show up to play. And then, you know, I was talking to a longtime, you know, family, some brothers that go to the games there. And I explained, you know, what some of the options might be, and if there was just aluminum bleachers, he goes, well, geez, if there's not covered, it's like, you know, I don't want to go. And there's just this place that, again, that, you know, you'd sit and meet. I remember when I did go to the games when Gene Littlefield was still with us, and I would always save a place and sit next to him. So it's just, you know, this, and I learned so much about, you know, our past history And there's a lot of cool things happening.
It sounds like it's a real center of our community, and it's not just the high school games, football, soccer. It's baseball over on the other side.
Performing arts, the festival.
Performing arts, the festival, and as you said, just a place to go.
Well, and the other thing of it is you know, in who knows, in 70 years, you know, lacrosse has been picking up, but even though I see really the room for expansion in the performing arts. know, if you know, there might be an opportunity for something like, you know, Shakespeare series or things there where, you know, culturally we can take a look at, you know, when you have a, you know, a stadium and a seating capacity like that, and then field improvements. I mean, really, to me, the sky's the limit. You know, I think we do need to be sensitive that it's a, you know, it's right in a residential neighborhood. And we have a great relationship and partnership with our citizens down there. But it really truly is a unique setting. And, you know, it's the view there, sitting there and enjoying it. I know that there was, you know, I kind of was lambasted in the paper several years ago about there's a proposal for.
No, when you're done.
Oh, okay. To put a big jumbotron in there. Which, and I don't know, just like a huge TV thing. It's like, I know, man. You know, I'm not going to go there to watch TV. If I want to go to the TV, I'll go to a bar and watch a big TV. So it's just, you know, it's just we want to keep that setting like it is. And I think that's the whole thing is to, you know, it's been that way forever. That's why it's so loved and valued. And this is an attempt to keep that.
It sounds like the value of our memorial field and making it accessible into the future is very evident. I just want to remind our listeners, this is 88.5 KRFY. This is The Morning Show with Chris and Susie. And we're here in the studio with Sandpoint Mayor Carrie Logan, Parks and Recreation Director Kim Woodruff. I think we should take a little break because I have a whole bunch of questions going back to the tax and how that all will work one more time. So, Carrie...
Let me jump in, Susie. So we're going to take a musical break, and we will invite people to give a call. Okay. We're not really set up to take live calls over the air here, but we will turn on the phone here. If you have a question concerning Memorial Field, you'll have during the period of the song to give a call in 3 minutes and ask that question.
So as soon as the song starts, you may call us at 265-2992. And Carrie picked out this song this morning because, you want to tell us? It's John Fogerty, Center Field.
Well, it's a sports song, you know, put me in coach. So,
and what's happening the first game
in World
today?
Series.
And today's the first game of the World Series. Thank you for that little cue.
Between the
Kansas, the Cubs aren't there, so
I'm
sorry.
It's also interrelated.
Kansas City Royals and the New York Mets are playing today. And so this is John Fogerty, Center Field. And please call us if you have a question about our very own Memorial Field. That's 265-2992. And that was John Fogerty, Center Field, in honor of the opening day of the World Series. And we're here in the studios of 88.5 KRFY, and this is The Morning Show on Tuesday, October 27th, with Chris and Susie. We're back in with our guests.
And Susie, during the break, we did get a question called in, so let's start off with that.
Okay, our listener wanted to know, if the ballot measure passes for the increased tax to support renovating and upgrading and making our Memorial Field a safer and better place, will there be an increased or a renovated increase of leg room from the 1940 leg room to the 2000, wherever we are.
Right.
Because we're
bigger people. And I think that they didn't have it.
Right.
Anyways,
right.
Better
and it's
leg
not
room.
A renovation because we aren't redoing what's there. We're right. Replacing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And yes, the design accommodates all current code, which the current facility does not. And I don't remember the exact width of seating or the leg, but it's an expansion.
And there is specifically going to be a better provision for to meet ADA requirements.
Yes,
yes.
And the access, you know, the aisles right now, there's like two or one, you know, when you go in there and it's packed if you're stuck in the middle. So this is a much better design, you know, friendly for ingress and egress. Again, the ADA access with the proper ramps and slopes and safety concerns. And so, and again, to the mayor's point, this is not a refurbish. This is a total rebuild from the ground up.
Yeah, thanks for that clarification.
Yeah.
I always feel like I need to be extra athletic if I go up in the bleachers now. And as the baby boomers still want to go to games because we like sports, we need to have good access. So thanks for that clarification.
It is kind of cool when, you know, somebody's in the middle of the aisle and it gets up and everybody's pretty helps them through it. You know, that's good, but it's like it's a trek.
Yeah. I like the end.
So let's talk about the construction materials. The current stadium, of course, is built out of wood. Mm-hmm. But the new stadium is going to be built from different materials.
Right.
We're looking at, and I kind of mentioned that a little bit earlier. We're looking at concrete, steel. But we can make the concrete look like wood, and so that's where we're going back to the we want to kind of keep the feel of what Memorial Field is. And like I said, from those meetings, it ended up going, well, we kind of like what we have now, so let's kind of keep with that theme. But going in and using and stuff that take as much maintenance. You know, wood is lovely, it kind of represents, a lot of, our timber industry around here, but it does, take a lot more maintenance. And so that's kind of, similar. I kind of look at the project we did down in Farm and Park with the steel bandstand, which is a real cool project. And so, it's kind of similar in that where we can go in there and it's kind of, you can pay now or you can pay later. You know, those construction costs are a little bit more for the steel and concrete, but your investment is up front. And you know what you've got up front, and then the ongoing the maintenance part is where you run into the extra staffing and all those other things that are related. So, when you look at a project, in all the projects that I look at in our park system, it's kind of that same thing. You can pay now or you can pay later, and I would rather pay now, be up front with everybody, and say, look, we're going to do this, and looking at long term maintenance in mind. Everything that we do, we look at long term maintenance, because even like a park, we just build a brand new park over at the fairgrounds, and that's a $300,000 plus park. But
that new park is designed for kids, right? It's a playground.
Yeah, it's a playground, a couple mm-hmm. playgrounds and stuff. Mm-hmm. But kind of my point is that we went in there and we got the best possible materials, and so long term it'll be a lot less maintenance. So mm-hmm. it's similar in this project.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's talk about the amount that we're trying to raise here. It's $2.72 million specifically for the reconstruction of the grandstands. But how did you come up with the estimate that a 1 cent sales tax over 5 years would be able to raise that amount?
Okay. The state of Idaho does not give us the specific dollar amount of sales tax that we collect. It's only reported to Bonner County. So from that, our finance person, Shannon Scythe, who is very good at reading the crystal balls, made an estimate that probably 25% of those revenues came into the city of Sandpoint. And taking 1% of – taking a figure that represented 1% of that, we came up with approximately $850,000 a year that we would hope to collect from this tax.
Okay.
Yeah. And another kind of benefit is that this tax will be collected by us as opposed to sending it down to Boise and then letting them return it to us, because we don't get a penny for a penny. This way we get a penny for a penny.
You get all the tax.
Yes.
Rather than the state taking a big chunk of it as
Correct.
They do with the current sales tax.
Correct.
So what happens, it is just an estimate. We mm-hmm. can't really say exactly how much it's going to raise. We do know that it term limits out at 5 years. It's the maximum amount of time it can go. In that 5 year period, two scenarios. What happens if we don't raise enough, and what happens if we raise more than needed for the stadium project?
Well, I can kind of speak to that. We were looking at the conservative plan, and we made sure to cover in the 5 years that we would at least come up with what we think would be the $2.72 million. And then to answer the other side is, what happens if we were more successful? That's why we went and added the on the ballot, and it's really specific about what it would fund. And that's why I listed in the on the ballot language that our citizens will vote on. And I also want to make that real clear. The only people that can vote on this tax are the citizens of Sandpoint City Limits proper. And so those are the people that are in the driver's seat to pass or not pass this tax. Again, it takes 60%. Right now, our park system is funded, and parks are awesome and quality of life, and I'm very dedicated. I mean, I've made a career, and it's a passion of mine, but they're expensive. And funding for parks comes from general fund. The general fund comes from property taxes. This is a shift from the property taxes inside the city of Sandpoint to a much larger geographic area and demographic. So it's not just the property owners. It's the people who purchase things in Sandpoint. So, you know, I live a couple miles up Baldy. So when I purchase things, I would be able to participate in this tax. People who are from out of town visiting the festival and purchasing in Sandpoint would be able to participate in that tax.
So tourists.
So everybody that kind of is a better, you know, kind of a more real represented users of the facility instead of the burden of our park system and our police and our fire and everybody else is on the citizens of Sandpoint taxpayers, property taxpayers. And so that's why this is a cool tool to look at the funding.
Broadens the support.
It broadens the support. And it also, as Kim said, takes the burden off the city of Sandpoint property taxpayer because the other mechanism would be a bond. And that would only affect City of Sandpoint property taxpayers. And they, of course, are not the exclusive users of that or beneficiaries of that facility. Right. And so this seems like a pretty equitable way to raise the dollars.
And the property owners and the citizens of Sandpoint only get to decide this. So basically, to me, what they're deciding is say, yes, we want to let other people help us fund this project instead of just us.
And some people are criticizing that they can't vote on it too. Well, we have no authority to conduct an election throughout the county, and our authority is within the city of Sandpoint. So, and let me be really clear on the items listed on the ballot initiative. The first is dedicated to the replacement of the grandstands at Memorial Field. If we are lucky enough to raise more dollars from that 1 cent than the $2.72 million, then we can go to item two and so on down the list. And why, you may ask, do we have to list all those things? Because if we do raise more than the $2.72 million and don't identify it on the ballot, we can't spend it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so the other items are?
Well, the field renovation. Okay. You know, that field, even though it kind of looks nice and green, it can only, you know, it's really in poor shape. And to go in and totally rebuild that field would be number two. And then and replace the drainage in the field surface.
But this is if we raise more than the $2.72 million.
Right. And then, if that is funded and we still have and project is complete and there are still funds remaining, then we would go into repair and replacement of War Memorial Field infrastructure. You can kind of think like the different score clocks, Victory Bell Tower, fencing infrastructure in there. And then if that is funded, if we make it that far, I'm going to be way excited. But if that happens, then any funds remain would improve the park's infrastructure, such as City Beach parking lot and Travers Park parking lot.
And for an example, City Beach parking lot, just a kind of a, hey, Lanny, at Interstate, what do you think, was $750,000 for redoing that parking lot at City Beach because there are drainage issues. Always when we build something in the city, there are drainage issues. It isn't just, you know, putting the furniture in the house. It's all that stuff underneath, you know, like the joists and everything. Okay.
Foundation. Yeah. Infrastructure.
Yeah. Infrastructure.
It's the things you can't see but are mandatory.
Right.
So that's why, you know, when you look at this list, it's so long. And you know, realistically, you know, if we could get the first two done, it would be great. Three, I would be ecstatic.
Okay, so the flip side of this question, what if you don't raise enough to cover the $2.72 million?
I think it would be my recommendation that we wait a year, you know, to collect the tax. And that's another thing that, you know, after that year, we'll have a pretty good idea where we're sitting, and then we'll pull the trigger and start to build. We're not going to wait 5 years to collect our pennies and then do this. The city is in a position where we can borrow from ourselves and start the project.
You'll
and
see so a trend we'll in earnings.
And also, you know, to be clear, you know, it may, you know, we'll work with the high school, but, you know, we may have to have a season where the varsity sports for a fall season have to play away for a year because, you know, right after, the way I would see it shaken out is right after the festival, we would begin construction in earnest. And that would give us through the winter, you know, through the fall and winter and maybe into the next spring. And depending on, you know, how the project's coming along. But, you know, what I'm hoping to do is within that first year, we'll have a pretty good idea of where we're going to be sitting for the revenues for the grandstand and the field, because those are two things that we can do at the same time and get them in and get them done. And so, you know, it'd be a timing and a partnership. We've had these conversations with the school district. They understand, you know, it's a bummer that, you know, for that senior class that they may not be able to have home games that year, but the return for, you know, 80 years, you know, it's just kind of, mm-hmm. And these are big projects and it's going to take some time and we want to make sure and do them right.
Yeah. The other thing is if the voters decide to approve this, when the plans are there, we will also be reaching out to local vendors for in-kind contributions on that. For instance, maybe Interstate would give us a deal on the concrete that's going to be in the project. You know, there's ways to look internally at the project and effect some cost savings. And mm-hmm. we'll be looking at that too, just part of that continuing effort to locate other means of financial support for the project.
But not just donations, but also to try to work as best within the law permits to work with local service providers, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. as far as, you know, construction. Idaho law is very specific about what we can and can't do. You know, you have to take the lowest responsible bid, blah, blah. But, you know, as we do and we're doing business, you know, in the city and purchasing things for this project. And, you know, and that's not just for this project. It's the city as a whole has a policy actually of shopping local within 10%. And so, you know, we want to be frugal with our taxpayers' dollars, but we also want to keep those dollars here. You know, we know what happens. You know, there's when the dollars stay here, they multiply. So, you know, it is important. And I have had several questions from people say, well, gee, are you going to work with local people? And go, yes, as much as we possibly can. Again, you know, Idaho law is very specific as far as the bid, you know, taking the lowest responsible bid. But it's, you know, we do understand, you know, not just on this project, but the city as a whole and my department in particular, which I can speak to is how we do try to, you know, I try to do the city of Sandpoint first and then the greater geographic area before we look at a town to invest our dollars.
Okay. I want to remind our listeners that this is the KRFY morning show. We're with Chris and Susie, and we're speaking this morning with Kim Woodruff, City Parks and Recreation Director, and Mayor Carrie Logan. About the Memorial Field sales tax that will be on the ballot this next Tuesday, November 3rd.
I'd also like to make a pitch for the effort that the Friends of Memorial Field did, a 501c3, because they did not want to go the route of taxes for support of the facility, and they tried really, 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 really hard.
Like over a period of, 10 years or so?
Their efforts are so appreciated.
Mm-hmm. And they helped raise a lot of money for the light project.
But right, and the light project happened in 2011.
Right.
Yeah, that was $280,000. I mean, that was a
chunk change. That's right. And
that was to replace the big light standards that you see there, better illumination and...
Right.
We had a bunch of old wood poles that were holding
up the lights. I read in the paper, I think it was in the paper, maybe it was an email to me about, well, you know, I would support it if you'll do something for baseball. But people need to understand that, I mean, there's $80,000 of extra lights from this phase one project for the baseball infield alone. I don't know if people probably don't understand this, but a baseball infield is almost twice as bright as an outfield for baseball, which is the same as a football field. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've taken that into consideration, have done major improvements in Memorial Field and the baseball side. Mm-hmm. And so we try to take into consideration all use.
And that was the Friends of Memorial Field. And I'm sure they'll be instrumental as we go forward.
They're still looking for money.
This is essential, this vote. And I just want to remind our listeners that voting is a good thing. Whichever way you vote.
Well,
go,
you know,
out and vote on November.
Perhaps you're limited,
3rd.
But I can advocate a yes vote. So please vote yes next Tuesday on Memorial Field.
Okay. And there'll be more opportunities to hear about this. You can always call Kim and talk to him.
Let me wrap up with just a couple things. What I wanted to do in 3 minutes here, throw out some of the arguments opposing this, okay? And one is that I never use it. Only those who use it should pay. What would you say to somebody that opposes it based on that?
I would say it's what is community? You know, is it, if you truly feel that way and you're and not, I don't want to say selfish because I don't want to judge people, you know, in their value system. But if somebody really has that thought process, then they probably should vote no because it's about community. It's about going in and saying, you know, I can contribute to something that's greater than I am. It's a community benefit. It's kind of like, you know, voting for the school district, the education levy. You know, it's a greater thing. So it's just kind of how you're wired. You know, I don't want to judge anybody. And if they're truly looking at that, well, what's in it for me and I don't do anything, well, man.
It's a different way to look at things. What you're saying is that you might not ever use it, but you can ask the question, does it enhance our community? Does it make it better? Are there my neighbors that might benefit?
Well, you know, why do people live here? You know, people who are, the real cool thing about Sandpoint is it's not the lake and the mountains and all that stuff, which are awesome, but it's the people. The people and their spirit and their sense of community and their value system, and that you walk down the street and they smile and say hi.
Okay,
you
know, I got a couple more. One argument against it is it's going to hurt the businesses in town. People will go shop elsewhere because they want to avoid the tax. What would you say, Mayor, what would you say to that point?
I don't think, first of all, people will even notice it in their bill. And
it being just one penny on the dollar.
One penny on the dollar. And I just... You know, somebody may, in the name of, you know, I'm not going to pay the tax, but if you want to pay $10 for gas to go to Coeur d'Alene to save, you know, a penny on a dollar, then you reason differently than I do.
And I can speak for myself on that one. You know, I'm going to be dedicated to shopping in Sandpoint for the opportunity for me to contribute to the project.
It will make you more inclined to shop again, you know, because you think a little bit of my money is going to this thing I support.
Yeah, I mean, it's 1%. It stays here.
Okay. One more question. I've seen this question posed elsewhere. Other cities don't have such a nice grandstand. Why should Sandpoint?
We're not every other city. That's why.
Yeah, we're Sandpoint.
It's more Memorial Field. Again, it goes back to that whole thing of community, this tangible place of community. And I really have to try hard to stay neutral on this. You know, I really, for our listeners out there, I'm trying hard, you know, and I understand if someone's not going to support it. And for whatever reason, you know, I work for them too. I do. And I respect that. But I truly am passionate, and I'm not a local. I've only been here 30 years, but I see what that place is. You know, it's not just, you know, if I was only here for a couple of years and I looked at it through the eyes of just a Parks and Rec director, that it's just a building and a facility, and this is how it needs to manage. But it's not just a building. You know, it's not. And so that's, I guess, the biggest part is that something that the generations have grown up with, and this is an opportunity to continue that same type of space and place, or we can go back and be like everybody else and just have a place to play and maybe some grandstand or some aluminum bleachers. And that's really kind of like, go back to this, we started, we're at the stop sign, we can hang a right or a left, and it's up to our community to decide.
That's the decision that comes up on November 3rd. So we'll throw out this shout on that. The city election is next Tuesday, November 3rd. You vote at your regular polling place.
Correct.
And the polls will be open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Of course, you can go and vote absentee right now.
Right.
And you do that at the county administration
building. If you are not registered to vote, you can go the day of to your polling place and register to vote and vote in the same day.
Hmm. And I would encourage people, if they have any questions as citizens, to give me a call at my office, 263-3674. And then also there's a candidates forum that we'll be presenting tomorrow night.
Yes, tomorrow night, the Sandpoint Lion and Sandpoint Reader are hosting a candidates forum. It's going to run from 5:30 p.m. until 7:30 p.m. Might go a little bit longer than 7:30. This is in the Sandpoint Community Hall. Everyone's invited. We're going to have the candidates for mayor and council, but we're going to actually start that evening with a presentation on Memorial Field by Kim and the city planning director, Aaron Qualls. So that's another opportunity to get more information about this. We'll have a short period at the forum where questions can be asked about the project of Kim and Aaron.
May I just say one final thing? Like the depot, this is an ode to the history of town and seeing what you love about Sandpoint and what you want to preserve about Sandpoint, and this is a perfect example of it.
Okay. And we want to thank our guests, Carrie Logan, mayor of Sandpoint, and Kim Woodruff, Parks and Recreation coordinator or director. Thanks for coming in today. A discussion that we had this morning on air will be available on our website, krfy.org, later on in the day if you want to re-listen to it or send someone over to listen to it.
Yes, go to the podcast page. It'll be this afternoon. Mm-hmm. We'll have this posted.
And thank you again for joining us.
Thanks
this morning.
For inviting us. Mm-hmm.
We're going to leave. We're going to just let you leave. We're going to have a song in honor of, well, sports. This is Queen. We Will Rock You. We'll be right back. Chris and Susie will be right back. Stay with us. This is Queen. We Will Rock You. And that was Queen. We Will Rock You. An anthem to sports, I guess you might say. And Chris, lots going on this week. We have a few minutes. We have about 2 minutes to talk about it before we say goodbye.
Yes, indeed, Susie. There is a ton going on as usual. Of course, it's Halloween on Saturday, and some of the things going on that are Halloween specific are there's a haunted forest. The annual Beta Sigma Phi Haunted Forest is happening. It's at the University of Idaho Research and Extension Center. That's actually going to run from 8 to 11 p.m. starting Thursday night. And then on Friday, it's going to go 8 p.m. to midnight. That's Friday, October 30th. And then on Saturday, October 31st, it's going to run.
We're pretty much out of time. I want to remind our listeners that tomorrow morning, I'll be here in the studios with two different groups doing extra special interviews. We're going to have representatives from the Community Cancer Center. And then we'll have Nancy Dooley from the Idaho Conservation League in to talk about Wild and Scenic Film Festival. So you can join me at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. And on Thursday morning, KRFY Morning Show host Jack Peterson and Jim Healy will be in the studio. Their guests will be actors and directors from the upcoming Rocky Horror Picture Show. And that's again at 8 o'clock on Thursday morning. And we're going to leave with a song, and I want to tell you why we're going to play this song.
Yes, all right. Why is that?
This is, on this day in 1964, 31-year-old Salvatore Philip Bono married 18-year-old Cheryl Lynn Sarkisian LaPierre. And this is one of their songs that, of course, is Sonny and Cher. And this is I Got You, Babe. And we hope that you have a beautiful day.
Yep, you bet.